30 years of ministry, and probably the sound that I love the most are the little ones in our midst. Not that I don't like the rest of y'all, but their sounds are just amazing, and I'm so thankful for how the Lord has continued to bless us with little ones. Turn with me, if you will, in the book of Proverbs. Now, we're going to be making a little bit of a trek through the Proverbs this morning. We'll be starting in chapter 10, so if you want to open to chapter 10, do that. We'll be trekking all the way through to chapter 31, actually, and many ports in between. So this is going to see how good Baptist you are and be able to get through the scriptures when I call out the titles. So why is it that the Baptists are faster than we are? I don't get that. But so as we look at how wisdom transforms our words this morning. Now, I don't know, these two phrases that I'm getting ready to say may date me, but I think they're well-known phrases by all the people that are here. If you can't say anything nice, okay, sticks and stones may break my bones. Right. And you realize that both of those sayings are lies. Well, not exactly. They're like heresy. There's just enough truth to make them sound like they're a good conventional proverb. But they're not. First problem with the first one. Who determines what's nice? So, you know, and because there's times when there's hard and firm things that have to be said that you don't feel nice afterwards. But it's still the truth, and it must be said. The second one, for sure, is blatantly false. Why is that? Well, sticks and stones, our bodies will heal to a certain degree, but there are times when words cut so deep that the scars last forever, that we never heal from those. We may move on, but we don't necessarily heal. So while we use those phrases as if some way they're supposed to comfort us, of course, I was a skinny, nerdy kid, so I knew what it was to hurt afterwards with the words that were said, to be sure. But those things, you move on. I'm not holding any grudges, of course, you know. It's important that we see this because the scriptures have a real simple message when it comes to words. Words matter to God. It's that simple. And the Proverbs takes words very seriously. Over 90 different proverbs are devoted to how we use our words. It's the second most used, talked about topic in the Proverbs outside of getting and gaining godly wisdom. So how we use words is a major theme, especially from chapter 10 to chapter 31. And every day we talk. Is there anybody here that doesn't talk? I mean, I know Jim talks to his dog, so I know he talks even when he's all by himself. So every day we talk. The question is, are our words marked with wisdom or with folly? Words are important to God. Words matter to God. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 12, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. In other words, by your words you will be known. You will be known as justified, as people of God, or you will be condemned. In a society where technology provides everyone with a global platform to speak our words, we need to be more and more responsible these days and aware of what we say before we say it. I'm thankful I'm not on Facebook because I would be typing things before I thought more often than not. None of you have ever had that problem, I know. But thankfully, my daughters and my wife won't let me on Facebook. So they're my buffer from that kind of thing. I'm thankful for them. But that's the problem with today. We speak before we think. We get irritated, we get angry, and we spill out useless words because we hadn't thought them through. So words matter to God. So his wisdom, thankfully, transforms how we use words. Pray with me. Our Father and our God, we are so thankful this day that your word continues to remind us of the things we need to remember. Not because you're coming down on us, not because you're constantly berating or nagging us. You love us so much that you want us to grow into that image of Christ, to do the right thing that will bring you honor and glory, but also will grow the people around us, edify them, so that they might glorify you, that we might fulfill the commandment to be a blessing. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, y'all know how I approach these things. So when I ask this question, you're probably already going to know where I'm going to go with this. Why do words matter to God? Why do words matter to God? Well, we who are in Christ are to emulate Christ, who is the Word. Not a wrong or sideways word came from his mouth. So it is our job to steward our words accordingly. Accordingly to God's and Jesus' example. So as we continue to navigate through the Proverbs and the many topics that we're to look at, wisdom continues to transform how we speak as well, how we use our words. And we'll look at the capacity of our words this morning. We'll also look at how our words reflect our hearts. And lastly, today, we'll look at how our words are useful in this world. So let's begin today looking at the capacity of our words, and hopefully you're still in Proverbs 10. We'll look at Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And then flip over to Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now, just so we're clear, when the first text from 10:11 says the mouth of the righteous is a fountain and the mouth of the wicked conceals violence, the word translated mouth in the English is the Hebrew word peh, which is actually the word for words. So the literal translation here would be the word of the righteous is a fountain of life and the word of the wicked conceal violence. Now, you may have already figured that out, but I thought I would point it out just so you know that I'm still doing my homework in the Hebrew language. But it's important for us to understand that the scriptures speak clearly in this way. The righteous, of course, are all those who are of God's elect, true believers who abide in Christ, who seek to do as he commands, who have the fear of the Lord emanating from them and use the knowledge that God gives us to glorify God and to edify his people. The wicked, of course, are unbelievers, those who are not in Christ, as the New Testament specifically defines them. These are, according to our passage, they conceal violence. Now, what does that mean? Well, they refuse to speak the truth. They refuse to tell people what they need to hear. They only tell them what they want them to hear. Or as Paul says, they continue to suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, for God has shown it to them, so they are without excuse. So they refuse to speak the truth. Another example of this is these are people who are by nature liars. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. So we have that refusing to speak the truth. We have lies. We have suppression of the truth. All of this is just another way of saying those who conceal violence. Because not telling the truth means you're keeping life from someone else, because truth is life. It's actually the fullness of our life, capacity of our life. Wisdom enables us, who are God's righteous, to speak the truth, which is life to all who hear it and all who the Spirit uses to transform them. So it's a fullness of life. The truth comes from our mouth. And that mouth is like the wonder of a fountain. We went to Houston on Friday to go to the National History Museum, and we drove by this plaza that had three fountains. And first thing the kids said, look at the fountains. Captured their attention immediately. The words of the righteous are like a fountain of life. In a world where nobody knows what's true, truth stands out. The word could also be translated well. And if you're in a barren land, not a better place to find than an active well with good water. Those are the images that the Proverbs are trying to give to us about the words of the righteous, what they provide for those around them. Now, some people will think that the well is a mirage or that the water's poisoned so they won't drink it. Certainly not from us, someone they don't know. But those who do, those who God has called, those who God has elected, will be transformed by that water. That's the capacity of life that truth has, that comes from the mouth of the righteous, while the wicked are concealing violence. Constantly reminding ourselves of these things. Then we come to 18:21 that just puts that point home. Death and life are the power of are in the power of the tongue. I wish I could see today. Those who love it will eat its fruits. We understand how James deals with the power of the tongue. But here we see that it has the power for life and death. That's the power within your words. Another reason to think before we speak, because the power is there. God delights in filling our lives to capacity with His grace, that we might then be able to share that grace with others, which brings life. We do not change the hearts of people. God does. But He uses us as His instruments to bring life. Our mouths, our words are a fountain of life. We are God's fountain when we know His words and always are ready or prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you with gentleness and respect. I love the fact that he tacks that on there, 1 Peter tacks that on there, because most of us like to pound the gospel into people. Why don't you get it? I'm making it as hard as I can. Well, no, I'm trying to get it real clear, right? Not making it as, well, gentleness and respect. The love of God needs to come from our mouths. That reveals the righteousness, the justification that needs to come from us clearly. It is only because of Christ in us that we can share the capacity of life within us through our words to others. Only because wisdom transforms the use of our words. Next, we see how the words we use actually reflect our hearts, and it's not always a good thing. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4. An evildoer listens to wicked words, wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. And then flip forward one chapter to chapter 18 again. Verse 8, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Another thing I love about the Proverbs, they're quick to point out things we don't like to talk about. We want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. We want to live in gray areas so often, just so we can all get along and all feel good. Well, Proverbs 17:4 is not a feel-good kind of proverb. An evildoer, I mean, we're pointing out that this is not a good guy, listens to wicked lips. A liar, who uses that term? You go on the news, they use every other word in the world but liar. And we in the church do the same thing, but not the Proverbs. Because God's not into gray. He's into black and white. He's into clarity. It's obvious what's going on. 17:4 is an interesting reflection on a man's heart, because not only is speaking words folly, wicked words folly, but according to this one, listening to wicked words, to lies, to distorted stories is also a sign of folly. How much time is wasted listening to things that are unhelpful? Without a willing audience, foolishness, hurtful talk dies away. But with listening ears, or maybe 100 or 150 followers on Facebook, lies spread like wildfire, and they can't ever be brought back as if they never existed. Proverbs 16:28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife. We know that person. Maybe we are or were that person, but we understand who that is. A whisperer separates close friends. We listen too much to lies spread by others. And the proverb makes it clear that when we're listening, we become just like that liar. We fall into that classification, which causes people within the church and without to split, even amongst people that you've known for a long time. Proverbs 12:18 says, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Every time my grandkids come to my house, we have to have sword fights. Thankfully, nobody gets thrust through. But we know what this image is about. Sword thrusts, constantly thrusting into someone. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. We've all been there with a friend or a family member that just keeps thrusting, keeps digging, keeps thrusting that sword or that knife into our backs. And it cuts to the core, and something dies within the soul. But like Jesus, who forgives and heals us, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Trouble is, and this is important, we all like listening to gossip, don't we? We all want to be amongst that small group of people that are in the know. And we wonder why it causes so much trouble down the road. But not all gossip is false. And yet, what does God say about gossip and the gossiper? He doesn't classify the words that they say, but if they are a gossiper, they're not welcome in his kingdom. That's pretty tough stuff. But gossiping is just talk. It's just words. Words matter to God. Always matter to God. We're not to listen to unsubstantiated rumors or gossip or lies concerning brothers and sisters in Christ. Proverbs 18:8 again. The words of the whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. A whisperer, the Hebrew word gossiper, but not just any gossiper. This is the gossiper that complains about everything. None of us have ever met any like that. None of us have ever been like that. But that's the specific class of gossiper, one who wants to make everything look bad and everyone. Gossip, controversy, wicked words about others drive our taste buds. Oh, we don't want to admit it, but it does. And in the meantime, it makes us sick and divides us and destroys families and friends. And we begin to look at people that we previously trusted as enemies, all based on half-truths and innuendo. It's crazy how people are. However, a transformed heart loves as Christ loved. Remember, we've been going through the book of John. How did Christ love? How did he love? Sacrificial. Completely. Completely. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says, rejoicing in wrongdoing, love does not do that. Love does not rejoice in falsehood. It's important for us to continue to remember how this love and loving as Christ loved and what's expected of us, of our words, because our words reflect our hearts. They reveal our hearts. If we're listening to lies, if we're explaining and expressing those gossips to other people, if we're speaking just whatever comes to our mind without thinking, they reveal our hearts. But because of God's Spirit, because of His wisdom, which transforms our hearts and our words, God's Word also commands us, from Proverbs 22, drive out the scoffer, and strife will go out. Quarreling and abuse will cease. Now think about that a minute, because it's easy for us to say, well, we know who this person is, so let's get rid of them. But we are the ones that we're listening to that person, so we get rid of us too. So that passage speaks to the fact that in the church, sometimes the discipline has to occur. But the main goal here is to get us to look at our own hearts, to reflect on our own hearts. Why is it that we like listening to this garbage? Why is it? And we need to repent before the Lord because of that. Few of you are old enough to remember this little slogan, garbage in, garbage out. It was an old drug commercial back in the Reagan years. But that's the point, is that we bring in so much garbage and all what's going to come out, that's all that can come out as well. God commands us, which means He also supplies what we need to do as He commands. When we listen to His wisdom, when we abide in His Word, when we submit to one another, when we come and worship and receive His sacraments, participate in these, then everything will sit well on our stomachs. What was it Paul says? I have a good conscience. I have a clear conscience. Sometimes I read that and I say, how is that possible? You're human. And it's not that he never does any sin, but he's in the presence of taking care of that. He's at the point of thinking through his words, thinking through his actions, and doing those things, and he can say, I have a clear conscience. What a gift. Psalm 119 says, how sweet are your words to my taste. Surely they are honey to my mouth. We would rather have a nice feeling stomach than a sick one, to be sure. God's Word, God's wisdom is life. It's powerful. It transforms our hearts so that our words are transformed from those hard truths, that desire to hear the gossip, that fallenness remnant within us, to the glory of God and to the blessings of His people and the world around us. Lastly, wisdom transforms how we use our words so those words become useful to the world around us. Turn to Proverbs 20, verse 15. There is gold and abundance of costly stones, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. And then Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Proverbs 31, 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. I always find it interesting, whether it's in the Proverbs or whether it's in the Psalter or even it's in the Book of Revelation or where all these images of precious stones and gold Wes was even talking about the gold from Havilah during the Sunday school hour. All these images, you know, in Proverbs 10, we have tongue. The tongue of the righteous is like choice silver, shiny silver, like brand new. You know, something that stands out when people see it. But while this gold and these costly stones are abundant in God's world, they are actually rare for most of us. Most of us don't have an abundance of jewels or abundance of gold in our vaults, in our houses. So what's the point? Well, thoughtful words, useful words are actually a rare treasure in this life. We know it exists, but it's a rare treasure that we need to constantly be working on, because life is so full of trivial words that we share from one another. And it's rare. We're told that it's rare. We're told that those kind of truths are rare. They're so rare that we can't have that many. But yet, think about that. What's our greatest treasure? The greatest treasure is found right here in this book or on your phone or wherever you have your Bible. That's our greatest treasure, God's Word. The treasure for which every transformed heart longs. Where our treasure is, there our heart is. But it's rare sometimes, depending upon how dark your life is. And then when you find it, or that is when God reveals it to you, you grab hold of it, you hold on to it, you protect it like it was a precious jewel. Or like it is the precious jewel that it is. You don't want to lose it. You want to hold on to that. It gives you strength in the moment. It gives you the ability to continue to go through those dark nights of the soul. Or it continues to give blessing and grace to those around you. The Word of God is that precious jewel. Another thing, like the fountain, that captures our attention. I mean, even if it's not a precious jewel, just think about those stones like quartz and others that are, you go to the different stores and you see them all washed and you can buy a bag of stones and they're all really pretty. They capture our eyes again. They capture our attention and we want to own them, especially if you're 6 or 8 years old. But it's part of that desire that we have, that jewel that we have the opportunity to give to others. We get to speak in ways that others don't expect when we speak the words of God that are a precious, that would become a precious jewel for them. I'm always amazed that even Jesus' enemies said, "No one spoke like this man." That's our goal with these words that are transformed. But just as an aside, and this is free, there's a time and a place for the words. Otherwise, they irritate. I love this passage. The only reason I stuck it in here. Now, if you're not a morning person, you're going to figure this passage out right away. Proverbs 27:14. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted a curse. So there's a time and a place to say things properly and appropriately. And don't wake that non-morning person up too early. Just saying, because they won't listen. But I mean, the bigger picture, of course, is that time and place. Knowing when to present the words that are going to be precious to people. But I love that passage. A proper time, a proper place, our words are always useful. But given all that we've said up to this point concerning the mouth, the words of the wicked conceal violence, the words of the rash or spiteful, they're like sword thrusts, the words of the whisperer, the gossip that seeks to divide and destroy, our transformed words are extremely useful. And I wanted to just jump in here to Proverbs 13 for a minute because I don't think we often think about this. I mean, Proverbs 31. 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of the destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. The question is, will we stand up for those who don't have a voice in the cultures in which we live? You know, for those who pursued the pro-life movement biblically through the years, that was the point. To speak for the unborn who can't speak for themselves. To speak for the mothers that were being placed in the midst of a lie. To speak on their behalf. And we could think of other opportunities we have to speak for those who can't speak for themselves. Will we open our mouths? Will we open our words to speak against injustice? As the days get longer before Christ's return, there will be more and more injustice. Who is going to be the people that speak clearly against that? Why is it are we promised persecution if we're doing our jobs? There's your answer. Who will defend the one who is defamed by false reports, by gossip, by bitterness over unresolved personal problems? The Proverbs commands us to do so. These are not just pithy statements, as I've said. The Proverbs, these are God's word, and they are commanding us to live accordingly. That our words are transformed words that are useful when we speak God's word into a situation and not walk away with the attitude, it's none of my business. We've talked about this before. We're family. It's our business. When someone in the family is going off the deep end, when someone is gossiping, when someone is in need, it's our job to have their backs. It's our job to stand up and speak the truth to them, whether they want to hear it or not, and speak the truth to those around us. One of the reasons why you have us as elders to help with that, leading in that. But we're all required to do that, to keep the divisive from doing that, to keep our brothers and sisters to going down that wrong path. We need to speak and stand up. As the prophets made clear, he has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Praise the Lord that his wisdom transforms our words, that we might bring him glory and be a blessing to those around us. Pray with me. Almighty God, we are grateful for the day, but we're grateful for your word that continues to empower us to be the people that you've called us to be, the people of God, living in the city of God. That's not complete because you're not back. But we have a responsibility. We have the opportunity and the great privilege to reflect you to the world around us. Pray that our words would do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.